This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys Twitter top tweets going viral coming up in 20 minutes. We'll be talking about America's team. Maybe some Cowboys content in right here. You know, it's never far from Woolchuck's heart how he feels about this football team.
Damn right.
Wears it on his sleeve. I know he's so proud here. Walking crotch first with him sitting at 3-2.
I know.
Hey, that win stopping the run.
It kind of changed a little bit. All of a sudden, I'm like, I know, 24-hour rule. I'm kind of stretching this baby out to 72. I'm soaking in the moment right now because I don't know how it's going to go on Sunday.
How confident should you be? You know, the Jones family says this is not a rebuild. We'll have more on that coming up in Cowboys Twitter. But here's Woolchuck with your NFL news of the day.
Yeah, well, hey, we do have some Cowboy news. How about that? Denzel Mims, former Baylor Bear, second-round pick, kind of bounced around the league a little bit, did work out for the Cowboys today. I've seen several of the Cowboys beat saying no deal is imminent. But Clarence Hill, did put out that the Cowboys also did work out two other receivers and a couple of defensive ends as well, but we don't have the names just yet. Max Duggan, former TCU and Chargers quarterback, who's a free agent right now,
threw to him,
was throwing to the receivers. Yeah, so they got to look at Duggan as well.
Sure.
If they decided at some point maybe we want to bring in a camp body or a practice squad guy moving forward. So maybe there could be some Cowboys additions to the roster by the end of the day, but nothing official as
of right now. It was funny how dismissive Jerry was about these workouts and just like, hey.
He was just kind of waved his hand, like, really, yeah, whatever.
It's a nothing burger. We don't look into it.
Yeah, we bring guys in, whatever, you know, that kind of
thing. Yeah, don't worry. Don't think too much about this. But the big news this morning, of course, the Jets firing Robert Saleh. After a 2-3 start, Jeff Ulbrich is going to be their interim head coach. He is was their defensive coordinator. 20-36 since 2021 is Robert Saleh, and Woody Johnson saying he thinks this is one of the most talented teams the Jets have ever had, and they're looking forward, moving forward to having a better start. Now, there's a lot of reports that are coming out about this. Apparently, Robert Saleh was considering firing offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett before he ended up getting canned.
I mean, that's really where you should have been looking if you're trying to address what's happening on the football field. Now, when you're talking about a head coach, you're also talking about the culture setter and communication and have things gone toxic. And the way that he and Aaron Rodgers are interacting, I would think that that's very possible. But how could you not be looking primarily at Nathaniel Hackett? Like, the biggest problem is Aaron Rodgers got old and hurt.
Yep.
But you can't change that fact right now. So you could change Nathaniel Hackett. Like, the defense is actually doing a pretty good job. Yeah, you know? And that's what Saleh is known for, right?
That's been the case his entire tenure there as head coach for the Jets. The defenses have been consistently awesome. They just couldn't figure out the offense. And unfortunately, with the Hackett stuff,
specifically, like, the quarterback.
Yeah, specifically the quarterback. No question. It's a bunch of Zach Wilson, and then, okay, now we're going to Aaron Rodgers. The problem with trying to fire Hackett, even though, yes, that makes all the sense. I mean, the initial hire should have never happened in the first place, but that's Aaron Rodgers' guy. That's Aaron Rodgers' offense.
Yeah, that's Rodgers, like, saying, the hell, you're firing my guy.
Totally. Like, Aaron Rodgers is not going to stand for it, and nothing's going to change because Aaron Rodgers, like, doesn't matter who you put in there as the play caller. This is my offense. This is how I do it. And unfortunately for him and for Jets fans, that's not an offense that works anymore.
It's just so weird. You should not be letting Aaron Rodgers dictate anything. You know he's toxic. If you just look into what happened at Green Bay, like, he was mad at Mike McCarthy for trying to modernize the offense. He wanted to stay static. LaFleur takes over. Suddenly he's open-minded to play action and putting things in motion, and the offense actually looked good. He wins 13 games in back-to-back years as an old man, takes MVP. And, you know, then he's moved on back to this New York situation, and he's treating, you know, this thing now like, we want nothing to do with motion. I'm Peyton Manning sitting back here dissecting everything. And it's been so inconsistent, right? It's proven that, you know, he's not a trustworthy guy as far as setting your offensive philosophy. And he's toxic on top of that.
Yes.
Like, there's two major reasons to just be like, Rodgers, how about you, like, quarterback, and we'll do everything else. We don't want you involved in any of the communication because it's clear that you're a coach killer, you know, and you don't have good ideas.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that's coming out now. When you look at the way McCarthy's tenure ended in Green Bay, then LaFleur and what was going on there, and then now with Robert Saleh, you know, Aaron Rodgers has not really gotten along with a ton of people. And reportedly, according to WFAN in New York, there was a heated argument after a post-game presser. Rodgers refused to even look at Robert Saleh. The relationship began deteriorating after Rodgers' trip to Egypt when Saleh threw him under the bus. And we played all that audio going through it. I mean, last week we had the Caden stuff where Robert Saleh was like, I don't know, maybe we're just not, you know, our offensive line, this is too much for us. And Aaron Rodgers just, okay, that's one way to do it. Maybe we should hold our guys accountable. Like, there has been a total disconnect between the two. And really, you look at the OC and you look at the quarterback. They've got 93 points to this point in the season. They had 93 points to this point in the season last year.
Ouch.
With Zach Wilson as well.
Ouch.
So I think, Rodgers, you're not helping things. Maybe you should look in the mirror instead of looking for a scapegoat all the time.
You're losing to Bo Nix and the Broncos at home, dude.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
You're putting up 9 points in that game.
Big winners, the Raiders, because apparently...
So basically, he defeated ayahuasca. Ayahuasca didn't help him become a better person. He defeated ayahuasca in a sense, right?
Yeah.
He's more powerful than the drugs.
Yeah. That's absolutely
poor
right.
Guy.
He's broken. Ayahuasca had a damn good run, though, man.
Yeah. Broken.
It did. Jets are still
in the pursuit. I mean, he can learn intellectually what it will take to fix himself, but... It's hard to undo all that wiring.
You know, he can give great advice, but he's not going to listen to any of that advice.
Yeah.
No, Jets are going to maintain pursuing Davante Adams after the firing of Saleh, which makes more sense.
That'll fix all their problems.
I mean, the Raiders are licking their chops. They're like, how much can we get? Like 3 first-rounders here? 2 first-rounders? How much is Rodgers going to go ahead and give up for his buddy now, since he's clearly the puppet master behind the Jets front office?
I know things are bad with the Raiders. I get Adams wants to get out of there, but why would he have the Jets at, like, the delusion there to think that things are going to go well for you? When you put that uniform on, you become a worse player. Everything around you in life becomes worse. Things aren't tasting as good as they used to before. Mm-mm. The Jets are going to jet every single time, and even Davante Adams wouldn't be able to overcome that.
Well, the next favorite to be fired is Doug Peterson of the Jags. They did get their first win over the weekend. And then the new favorite to be the next head coach of the Jets is Bill Belichick, but I would not be putting any money on that. Bill Belichick hates the Jets. That's actually happened before. And he said, thank you, no thank you, after being introduced as head coach. He bailed. Then he goes to New England. Don't think that's going to happen. I don't think he's jumping on the Jets bandwagon. I could see Vrabel, maybe.
I mean, hey, money talks, right? I mean, Urban Meyer was like, for $25 million, I'll put to rest my Buckeye background and I'll go to Michigan. I'm sure Bill's got a number, especially with that new girlfriend that he's paying for all those dinners stuff. I mean, come on.
God bless that woman, by the way.
I wonder, though, if the Jets probably would go for an offensive coach, though, wouldn't they?
If Aaron Rodgers plays again, then no, he's got his offensive coach.
No, they need to move on from Aaron Rodgers only has one. This is last year, is that right? Contractually?
I think that's, I mean, they can he move, might have one more.
Was it a 2-year deal or is
I'm
it
looking
three?
It up right now.
But I think he should be retiring at the end of the season. But if he decides he wants to keep playing, it seems like they're letting him have all the control. He's going to be able to pick who he wants as his next head coach. Maybe they just promote Hackett. Hell.
Well, you need a new offensive line. You know, I think there's a lot of things fundamentally flawed. I know 2022 ended well, and they were thinking, oh, dude, all we need is a quarterback. But a lot of time has transpired between now and then. There is one more year left on his contract.
They're also paying Saleh a ton of money. I think it's $20,000 a day. The contract was broken down. Yeah.
So cha-ching.
Fired head coach in football is the greatest gig is. You can have.
Like, he's making $13.32 a minute for the next 2 years just to not work.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
To get out of there, honestly, it's probably a big sigh of relief.
You know, and it's funny, though, if he goes somewhere else and, like, gets a salary, that, like, that would cut into that. But somebody could, you know, take him on for that, the Jets paying the salary while he coaches defense somewhere else.
I mean, I would assume San Francisco and him reuniting would be likely, but maybe there's another team out there waiting in the wings to say, hey, we wouldn't mind having you come in and help our defensive staff.
I'm doing that right now if I'm Shanahan.
Yeah.
When we get back in here, we'll work out some sort of a deal between now and when we can make it official.
Dude, great point. That Niners defense has had some issues.
Yeah, they have. Now, Mike Tomlin, again, says that Russell Wilson has to prove that he's healthy enough to play, and then after, they'll make a decision. So they're going to be playing with Justin Fields again this week. I think just having been in Pittsburgh over the weekend, there is growing frustration with that offense. They also want Tomlin gone, which I don't agree with from an outsider's perspective, but I think They've just watched, you know, basically an average football team that gets into the playoffs, but then will lose week one. The big reason is you don't have a quarterback. And yeah. Tomlin's too good of a coach to where you're not going to have a season where you're picking in the top five. So you're kind of dealing with the Kenny Picketts of the world if you want to take a guy in the first round. That's a tough place to be.
I mean, you can look at it two ways, right? The fact that their offense is just so archaic, you know? Yeah, and you can blame Arthur Smith, but I need my head coach to understand what kind of an OC we need. So I can't let him off the hook on that, unfortunately.
That's fair. Hey, he's responsible for adding to his staff, and the last two offensive coordinators have been really, really bad there. New lawsuit against Deshaun Watson has been resolved, according to a lawyer. And the stat of the day that I have here is Deshaun Watson now has more settled lawsuits with 23 than touchdown passes since being traded to the Browns with 19.
Oh, wow. What a fall off. Maybe the greatest fall off of an NFL history.
Yeah. I mean, this is almost as good as the Russell Wilson bathrooms and touchdowns.
Yeah. I was going to say, we're going to have to monitor this.
And
now.
I'm getting my ass hammered.
I wonder how many
touchdowns.
Lucy's
in his bag today.
How many touchdowns does he actually have? I wonder how close he is
including
to passing.
That's a great question. Maybe it's like right on the dot with 23. Because I don't think he has a lot of rushing touchdowns.
As a team, they only have like 6 touchdowns or something this season.
It's been brutal. I should have jumped on the Commandos with you, Brian, last week, but I didn't, and now I'm bet payoff. Derek Carr having an MRI today. He left yesterday's game with an oblique on Monday Night Football. So the Saints, my gosh, that 2-0 start, well, it seems so long ago. They've lost 3 in a row. I feel for you, Black and Gold B.
4,800 yards, 70% completed, 33 touchdowns, 7 picks his final year in Houston. Just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Putting on a show. That's MVP style.
It's crazy.
And since then, yeah, it's 19 passing touchdowns in the 3 seasons here.
Man.
Completion percentage under 60.
Oh, gosh. Combined.
It's brutal.
Yeah. Their yards per play is 3.8 right now. No one else is worse than 4.3.
Whew.
They're just like it's as bad a situation.
Was it true that last week that he wanted to go for it on 4th down and Deshaun ran off the field like, no, we're done.
Called a timeout.
No, I saw that.
Yeah, Stefanski was defending him on that one.
They saw that there was 12 men on the field or something, so he came running off saying that there's going to be a penalty here. So I don't think that the down and distance was really going to be go for worthy.
Maybe he thought one of the other 11 could throw it better. You know,
man, I think all 11 guy. Could.
They've got to be regretting not bringing back Flacco because that team looked pretty darn good with Joe Flacco quarterbacking in. And now it just looks like maybe they might be having the number one overall pick. Rashee Rice
again.
DFW zone underwent successful LCL surgery today with Dr. Cooper. So he is going to miss the remainder of the season, but surgery was a success. So no timetable for his return, but hopefully he's back next year catching balls from Mahomes and everything's good to go.
Hopefully he took all the merch away from his mom. Man, I don't want anything with the Rice name on it, Mom. Use your maiden name
Mama
from
Rice,
now on.
Mama Rice.
Yeah. Mama Rice, why are you still in packages? Are you kidding me?
Hitting licks
on
with my
camera,
jersey.
Fam? What are you doing,
switch
bro?
The jerseys out,
come
right?
Come on, man. Go to Green Bay jersey or something.
Goodness. Did you guys talk about the Kyler Murray partnership yesterday?
No. We were saving that special for you because we know
buddy.
How much you love Kyler.
I do love me some Kyler. Allen's.
Yeah, just he's whooped your ass so much now, you just have to respect him.
Gosh, he has. But I think this is a pretty funny move here from Kyler. So we're part of this too, but everyone's giving him crap for the Call of Duty. He loves playing it. And if there's an XP night, like what his record was following, and it was atrocious. So
the allegation night. Is that he spends more time playing Call of Duty than he does on
like watching
things.
Film, you know, doing anything.
Oh, that's a lock. I mean, if you're really into Call of Duty, you do more of that than sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah. So Kyler, yeah,
if he's serious about it, if he's really trying to be a grinder and put the work in.
Kyler announced a partnership with the franchise Call of Duty last night. And in an announcement, he thanked all the trolls that memed him into a bag. And that, of course, the partnership. And it's great. Now they've got a commercial out called The Replacer. And this is somebody who is filling in for Kyler Murray in a press conference.
No.
And here's how it sounds.
No.
Kyler.
Hey, so where's Kyler?
Well, Kyler is practicing Call of Duty Black Ops 6.
So who's stepping in?
Me, I'm the quarterback now.
Hey, I'm Kyler.
Hey, enough questions. Let's hit the showers. Huh?
Whoa.
Come along, bring your cameras.
Kyler.
That's a subtle shot at the NFL.
Oh, yeah.
For not allowing the cameras now into locker rooms. This guy's like, bring the cameras. All right. I don't care.
Man, very viral post, a little controversial.
Pretty good. It was a funny bit.
I would not sign off on this if I'm Kyler. And if I'm the Arizona Cardinals, I'm like, oh, that doesn't bother you? That narrative doesn't bother you at all? You're like, play into it. It's funny?
Yeah, well, he's playing so well right now.
He's leaning into his lack of professionalism.
He is balling.
He is. And like, if he wasn't, then this is a terrible look. But they just beat the Niners. I mean, look, I don't know how good the team's going to be over the course of the season. But Kyler's looking back to his old self, at least offensively. Then last night, ESPN, Bill Belichick jumps on the Manning cast with Peyton. They're talking crowd noise, and Bill takes a little shot at the old RCA Dome.
With this crowd noise, Bill, how do you simulate the crowd noise when you're playing these guys?
Well, I'll tell you, Peyton, the crowd noise there at Arrowhead wasn't as bad as it was when you guys piped in music at the RCA Dome.
Okay.
And then when the music skipped, and then when the crowd noise skipped, then that's how we knew we were pumping it in.
Hey, man. Cheaters, no cheaters.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Bill's like, hey, I've thought about doing this, but we're an outdoor stadium, and I can't. I know what the hell you guys are doing. I think it's all fair. Loving
Maybe
football.
It was an old-fashioned cheat-off. You know, they were just fighting fire with fire.
The cheat-off.
It does sound like maybe he's got some remorse in there. You know,
just a little bit.
Yeah.
Feels bad for it, maybe. Mm-hmm. Kicker story, because I know you love kickers, Eric. They are people, too. Maybe not football players, as you like to say.
Well, they're definitely not, but they definitely are people.
They were probably really good soccer players growing up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shout out to Brandon Aubrey.
Kick the hell out of that ball.
Heck yeah. Shout out to all the soccer players that are listening right now.
Yes.
Top scorer on the team. You're welcome, soccer.
Niners are signing veteran kicker Matthew Wright, who I can't say I've even heard of, but he's a veteran in the league, apparently. Jake Moody has
a
high ankle
He was on
sprain.
Their practice squad.
Well, now he's getting elevated.
Mm-hmm.
So Niners worked out a bunch of different kickers, Randy Bullock, Riley Patterson, Anders Carlson, Matt Coughlin, and they're going with this dude, Matthew Wright. We'll see how it works out for him.
MLS season's about to wrap up. There's going to be a couple hundred more dudes who are, you know, available.
It's probably good for us.
I guess it took Aubrey like 2 years, though. It's not just good. You got to learn specifically how to hit that football as compared
to. Yeah, I mean, he was a UFL guy, right? The Birmingham Stallions?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now look at him.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. NFL news of the day, most afternoons, 3 o'clock here in the G-Bag Nation. Cowboys Twitter and what the Jones boys have to say about the Cowboys being in a rebuild. Is that what we're seeing here? The Franklin Frankel injury attorney text line is open for you, and we're back with that in the Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Time now for some Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team, maybe from America's team. Segments brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And this segment's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is in an accident due to somebody's negligence, call the Frankels for a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go online to frankelfirm.com. We start with the Twitter account of Eric Woodyard, a reporter for the Lions. Quarterback Jared Goff said that last season's controversial loss versus Dallas is not in the back of their heads as they prepare to take on the Cowboys once again. Quote, I don't think we got screwed intentionally. I think it was just a mistake that the officials made, and it happens. But I feel like after wild card weekend, we found out they were fired up. After they won their game, they were expecting to come to Dallas, didn't know that Green Bay had won, and they were surprised in the post game. I think they said at the time they were really looking forward to it. And just knowing how the Cowboys reside in the mentality of a lot of other fan bases, Detroit being one of them, I would be surprised if they aren't using this as extra motivation, almost like a revenge game, even though it was the refs that screwed them.
Calling far on that one, Dawson. I think they're absolutely thinking about that. I think this has been probably the game they want more on their entire schedule. A.J. Hutchinson gave those exact comments post-game after they got that win wild card weekend over the Rams, and he was stunned. He was actually upset to hear the Cowboys had lost because they wanted to go back and get that one back so much. So, yeah, I think they absolutely are thinking about how they got screwed over, and they want this win so badly.
Jared Goff might not be able to like read a defense well after the snap, but he does know quarterback rule number one is don't give the other team bulletin board material. And, you know, I think he was making sure that happens. It is, you know, one of those games that could totally change how we look at the Cowboys. You know, if they can manage to show over the last 2 weeks, we figured out how to stop the run, you know, and have more offensive success. Like, their yard per play and their first downs and their third down percentage was all great against Pittsburgh that has a good defense. So hopefully, you know, we're reconsidering what the Cowboys' narrative is on Monday. But I think the Lions are coming in here for revenge. I think it's going to be a highly motivated team. And just the matchups favor Detroit very significantly. I think this is a top five football team. And I think the Cowboys are very average, maybe bottom third. In the entire NFL. We go to John Mishota. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones very clear that the franchise is not in a soft rebuild. He was speaking today at an event, said that shortly after he tried to talk D. Ware into a comeback, saying we could use a defensive end. They've lost four of them now. But they do want to lean on youth to replace their injured players, the story goes. Don't expect any notable moves being made to replace the injuries at defensive end. We still have a couple of weeks until the trade deadline. The quote, the only positive of losing a player is that a young player, usually your depth, is going to get some reps, a player that can get better for the future. Now, Steve said with us last week, no, I would not call it a soft rebuild. He said they're just recalibrating. And I think that's probably the more honest response, because you're just choosing a different word to label it with. But no matter what you call it, you're not going to be able to tell me otherwise with the players they let go, how they manage the cap. The Cowboys just don't want to say rebuild, because that triggers the casual fan to be like, oh, well, why am I watching
throwaway then? Season?
Yeah. Like, a lot of the casual fans that are in my social circle are still coming up to me and saying, hey, are we going to get Davante Adams or what? Give it to me straight here, buddy.
Right.
You know, what do you know? And I'm like, anybody that's been paying attention know there's no way in HE double hockey sticks this team is going to go get Davante Adams or any other big name player right now. It's just not the mode that they're in.
No, they don't have the financials for it. Not for a receiver of that caliber, where it's like $35 million a year, giving up draft assets of like a second round pick plus. It's just not in the cards.
Yeah, not in the cards. Todd Archer here is quoting Jerry on the Fan, said left tackle Tyler Guyton has a good chance of playing against Detroit. Micah Parsons iffy, although. He says it's not impossible, although, Brian, you're saying it's doubtful at best?
Yeah, I would say they're probably doubtful. The reports, and we'll see, but I was kind of getting the vibe that it would not be until after the bye.
And then Deron Bland could be activated off IR, but did not think that would happen this week.
No, right? That was another one probably they need to look at after the bye week.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer on the improved run defense the last two games. It's been 50 carries for 118 yards, zero touchdowns, compared to New Orleans and Baltimore's 464 with seven touchdowns. There's probably never been a bigger historic swing than what we witnessed over the last four games. He said it's a lot better than those two for sure. Helen Keller could see that one.
Oh, dude.
Yeah. What do you think, Wolchuk? Have you seen enough from the run defense to think it might actually be improved, or did we just play crappy offenses?
I think the offenses that you played certainly had a lot to do with that. But we just saw the Giants run for a lot of yards against Seattle. Tyrone Tracy, that was without Devin Singletary.
Yeah.
They ran the ball very, very well. And I think we were very nervous about Pittsburgh and what they could do with Justin Fields. I think it was Arthur Smith really negatively calling the game and not having more design runs for Justin Fields. But I do think you've seen a lot more gap integrity, guys doing their job. I mean, you could see it like being at the game. The goal seems to be, we're going to play hat on a hat. What we want to do is get things flowing to where our linebackers can now run and chase.
Yeah, this is, if you play a team that doesn't get second level blocks, that can't get their linemen up, Dallas will have a field day playing run defense.
Because the speed their linebackers
will make all the tackles.
Yeah. And Overshown was doing it, right? I mean, Eric Kendricks, I think, much better job than he did a week ago. So this is a truth serum test. How much better has it gotten? Because now you're playing against a very creative run offense with Ben Johnson and two of the better running backs in football, which Jameer Gibbs and David Montgomery.
I love it, man.
But you got excited about the serum test.
Redemption on the truth serum. The rare season where you have two truth serum games in the first 5 weeks of the season. That's where they find themselves.
Overshown is potentially good enough and young enough in his career to be the kind of catalyst that could change your fortunes. Brian, is that too much?
Oh, just hang around. I got some questions for you at 3:40.
Okay.
We're going to address some of these things.
I do need to apologize if I said AJ and not Aiden. I'm so sorry, Lion fans. They're coming at me.
Oh, really,
They're
dude?
Coming at me.
Yeah.
I thought
get your freaking A names together,
I'm
all
sorry.
Right?
I'm
what
an
a
idiot.
Play by me.
There's Lions fans in the text?
We got some Lion fans.
Right on. Salute to you guys. Glad you could make it down here to the great state of Texas. And, you know, sorry about the history with your football team. Best of luck to you. You know, I
think guys.
It's a great break that Micah Parsons isn't playing this week. I mean, you talk about Micah being able to rattle Jared Goff. That could be a potential game changer. You know, I'd be comfortable laying the 3.5 coming in here if I'm a Lions fan, considering how the Cowboys have played not only at AT&T against physical lines, against good running games. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, line up for a blowout. That's why it's a, you know, truth serum kind of game. Thieves in California targeting athletes. Did you see this one? As they got to Walker Buehler.
I was going to say Walker, Texas Ranger.
Yeah, they wouldn't want anything to do with Chuck. That, Chuck they might Norris need some Chuck Norris out there to deal with these guys. This is actually a related story to the 49ers rookie, Ricky Pearsall story from August 31st. Now, this happened a couple of weeks ago, but the Dodgers starting pitcher said last month he was in a crowd and thieves surrounded him and ripped a pricey watch off of his arm. Says he was not threatened during the incident, which happened September 28th at the Santa Anita Park horse racing track.
Whoa, that's one of my tracks.
That's a nice track.
Very nice track.
I'm usually getting some, what do they call that, OTB?
Yeah, off-track betting.
Off-track betting, yes. I love that, man. Because you're sitting there at a horse track. A race doesn't go off until like another 30 minutes, right?
You need other bets.
You need action.
Yeah.
So you're hitting the... you know, the computer kiosks racing all around the country.
Well, that's what I went with a couple of Cowboy coaches that one time, Jim Bates.
Yeah.
And we were at Lone Star Park, and he was yelling. He goes, come on, three. Come on, three. Oh, the damn wrong track. He was yelling.
He sure on the wrong horse.
Come on, three. Come on, three. Ah, oh, the damn wrong track.
It's exhilarating. Yeah. We need to do that. We need to have a G-bag day over there at Lone Star.
I would love to.
I've never been, dude. I would love that.
Oh, they're a blast.
It's fun over there, man.
Yeah,
my pops takes me over there sometimes.
That is so much.
Bet on the ponies.
Jockey club.
Next time. Get buzzed up.
Fun. Get buzzed up. Buffet. Yeah, bet on horses.
When I was a young degen, I turned 18 years old, you know, couldn't go out and have all the adult fun yet, but those tracks were open and I was hitting that. I was having a lot of fun.
That's where I used to have to go meet when I worked for Ray Rhodes in Philadelphia. Like, I'd take all my draft notes, all the meeting notes. He'd be at the off-track betting site right outside the vet. Yeah. I'd have to walk across the parking lot, plop down all the notes while Ray was betting on horses, and I'd have to tell him what we talked about, what players we looked at for the day.
That is
awesome.
Packed
all my notes up, went back to the vet.
Welcome to my office.
If that gamble is in you, you can't get it out. You just have to manage the rest of your life around it.
Yep.
This story happened. Police investigated two separate incidents of watch thievery on the same day at Santa Anita. Victims were all targets of organized groups who steal high-end watches in large crowds during events.
Pickpocketers or just run that? Nah, you got to run that.
Yeah, they surrounded Walker and were like, dude, your watch.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, you know.
Nice watch, bro. Oh, damn.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I have more respect for the guys who can actually get in there and just, like, surgeon that thing off you. Like,
without you even realizing you lost it.
Yes. Yeah.
That's an unbelievable talent.
But if you can't do that, I imagine that would take, like, years and a mentor to get to. You know, if you got, like, five of your closest friends and some got some size about them, this is an old-fashioned mugging, essentially.
Wow.
Second time this year, pro athletes in California have been mugged. I haven't heard of this happening in Texas, thankfully. I think I would be nervous with one of these fancy watches on, though.
Yeah. It might as well be a bullseye for some of these guys.
Yeah, you got to watch where you're wearing it.
Yeah.
And I don't know about the horse track type of vibes.
No.
Yeah.
No, there's a CD element there.
Yeah, I don't know about
and some
that.
Dudes who've just lost hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, exactly.
You got desperate
news running. It's like went into a casino or something. That's crazy.
Had a 12-pack and lost a couple grand.
Yeah, nah.
I mean, that's a bad recipe.
It's Peaky Blinders style.
Yeah, but at least he didn't get hurt like Ricky Pearsall did. He was walking alone to his car after shopping at luxury stores in Union Square, downtown San Francisco. Speaking of, you know, watching where you're at, that's probably not the best place to be doing that alone anyway. Might Might have security with him next time. Mm-hmm. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. Brian just laid out a great tease 5 minutes or so ago for Krusty's Corner. You got some questions
for
us?
Yeah, I do have some questions. I think my guys are going to have to do some thinking, and we'll do that next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. We're talking hoop coming up at 4 o'clock, proper rim session. The Mavs preseason is underway. Krusty's Corner is now brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here's Krusty.
Thank you very much, General. Thank you to Reliant as well. This Kraken game, like the first shot of the game for the Blues, it looked like it went in, and the goal judge like lit the lamp, and it was like not a goal. So we're off to a great start. the official's already like, oh wait, it's a goal, and the referee's like, no, it's not a goal. Yeah. So don't light the lamp next time, please.
Star Roddick Fox in this one.
Oh. I would hate to be the lamp lighter. By the way, I don't think it's that easy to see.
I think I would have a problem too.
Yeah,
I could sit in seats and still not tell if it's a goal.
You'd be
or not.
Sounding the horn off randomly. What the hell?
Fireworks,
damn it!
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be the
bells
worst.
And whistles for no
I'd just
reason.
Be the worst. Yeah, it would be terrible. Like, yeah, Broadus, your goal judge tonight. It would not be
a tough gig.
It would be like they would have to remove
That'd
me.
Be a great troll job, though.
Broadus, the puck is in play. It rebounded out to center ice.
I'm kind of like trying
now
to
stop. It's a blue line.
Confetti, and it's not a goal. You know, gosh, I'd be a terrible goal judge. I kind of think of a thing I could actually do. I think I could sit in the penalty box and write down like who got the penalty. That's kind of like open the gate at the right time.
Number six, Dallas.
I think I'd write down all the stuff. So I could.
My vision has gotten so bad. I need glasses horribly.
Yeah.
But I'm stubborn and I don't want to do it. I can see far away, but once it's close, I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd have to like sit far away, but close enough to see the puck still. I don't know if there's a sweet spot in there anymore, to be honest with you, Brian. I'm not sure I could even see the puck.
Do you need a LASIK refresher? Because you had the LASIK, didn't you?
Yeah, I had the LASIK, which made me good, but it makes the mid-40s vision adjustment a little worse.
Oh, crap.
Yeah.
We have to look forward to.
I need to get that done.
Right now, it's great.
You just go for the follow-up, and they can put the insert in there for readers now. Mm. You know, so you got to get 2.0 here in about 15 years or so.
We'll circle back to Brooks.
Yes, we will.
Yeah, well, I need to get that done. Mine went away after about 12 years.
Oh, you had LASIK that,
it faded.
Yeah. I'm like 17 years or so since I had it. It's been amazing. Yeah.
All right, Dawson, I'll start with you on this questions I have for you today.
Sure.
Is the red zone offense more of a problem than the running game?
No. You know, I think you can get by with the lack of great red zone offense, you know, as long as you can play defense and run the ball. You can't do anything. And if you can't run the ball, unless you have like, you know, Tom Brady and those running backs that could catch all those screens, you know, there's just, and I don't know if Dak's that kind of quarterback to excel in that like short passing game. So I think specifically for this team, you should not team build anything else until you have a running game established.
So you're saying that
run game,
run game is more,
it's a critical
more of a problem
error right
than
now.
The red zone offense.
We've seen this team be good enough to go win a Super Bowl and win 12, 13 games with a bad red zone offense, but they can't do jack squat without a good running game.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. Chieftain, take that one then.
It's a tough deal. I think part of your red zone issues are because you don't run the ball very well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you could run the ball, you'd probably solve at least a portion of your red zone issues. And so overarching, I do think that is still probably your biggest problem, but the red zone stuff is a huge issue. The good news is you don't expect to have sack fumbles and interceptions in the red zone week in, week out. But being able to score touchdowns is obviously extremely important. But I still think, man, if I could fix one thing, let's get this rushing attack going. And I think many of the problems would get solved just with that.
Wooly bully.
Yeah, I was going to go red zone, but you swayed me there with the we've seen this team struggle in the red zone, and we have. I mean, I feel like that's a yearly issue, and maybe that's across the league. Teams are like, man, our red zone offense just isn't that good. But maybe I'm prisoner of the moment. I'm optimistic that this running game is trending in the right direction, and I think it's all because of the offensive line. And I will say, one of the things I didn't get to NFL True or Far is this team better off just playing Tyler Smith at left tackle and TJ Bass there at guard. Because they were mauling people off the damn football. And Tyler Guyton, like, I'm still, I think he's going to be a good player. Mm-hmm. So I'm probably not making that change. If he can play, he's my starter. I'm going to go through those growing pains. But I think the offensive line improving is going to help the running game improve as the season goes along.
I'm kind of concerned about this red zone offense. I kind of feel like that they're going to need to find a way to, you know, with the guys they're missing, defense, you know, especially in the next 3 weeks, maybe in the 6 weeks, you know, with some of the other guys they're missing, got to find a way to score points. I don't think you can kick field goals, and I don't know if the defense is good enough to hold you in a bunch of these games with all the guys being out. So I have a concern. I think the running game can be better, but I'm worried about them getting down in the red zone and just not doing anything, not scoring any points.
No, it's a huge worry, and it's right up there near the top of the list, and maybe at the top of the list of biggest issues you have.
Yeah.
I just think your red zone problems would fix themselves to some extent if you could consistently run the ball better.
That's fair. Wooly Bully.
Yeah.
Is Overshown currently your best defensive player?
Yeah. With Mike out and no Tank, I think he's playing like the best defensive player right now. Yeah, I mean, he's got an unusual skill set there with his combination of the speed, but also he's seeing it now. And that was something on tape when I was watching him at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't comfortable. He would over-pursue. He had the athleticism. He's figuring out this linebacker stuff. I think today, where you stand and who's going to line up against Detroit, I'd say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. I think it's a no-brainer. Overshown's your best player. He's flying around all over the place. He makes plays in coverage. There's been times where they've tried to isolate him. It's like, oh, let's get a linebacker in a. There's a play with the Giants and Malik Nabers. It's third down. Yeah. Hey, let's isolate Nabers on Overshown. We'll get ourselves an opportunity to move the sticks. And Overshown's like, nope, I'm too fast for you, and I bring you down immediately. Sorry, Malik Nabers. So yeah, I think in coverage and as a run defender, he is. I mean, he's a game breaker, man.
To think it's possible that he has, you know, made an equal impact on stopping the run as the opponents have, you know, is that or anywhere close, you know, if he is remedying this, and it's not just the Giants and Steelers are terrible, but it's that Mike Zimmer needed to put him in against New Orleans. And if that had happened, maybe the result could be significantly different. I would love it. I'd be surprised if he's having that much of an impact. I'm going to still say Trayvon Diggs. You know.
Yeah, I was wondering. Derek Eagleton this morning asked him this question. He said Diggs was currently their best defensive player.
As long as he's covering, absolutely. But that play with Najee Harris where he gets dragged 5 yards.
Oh,
taken for a ride.
Trayvon Diggs against the run, there is still just so much like, I don't really want to be a part of this.
He doesn't read it well. Like it's intentional.
It's business decisions. I will make sure I'm a step slow. My angle won't be bad. Somebody else get in here and then I'll act like I'm around it or whatever. He wants nothing to do with tackling anybody.
But as a cover guy, yeah, like he tried to bait Fields on that one play. I think it was to Pickens. And he was playing off. He's like, please, so I can jump this and intercept it. Almost had himself one against Pittsburgh.
682 says Jordan Lewis probably the best right now.
Lewis has been playing.
He deserves a mention.
If you're going there. Hey, real quick, if I could, before I get back to the questions, Cowboys just, I got a note from one of my gang of seven who they worked out.
Oh, sweet.
Wide receivers, Chase Cota, C-O-T-A, Cota. Okay. Did I say that right? Mims, we mentioned.
Yeah.
Dante Pettis.
Oh, yeah. Dante Pettis, I believe, is a former
Gator?
University. I thought he was Washington.
Husky. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think you're probably right about that.
Seth Williams. Those were all wide receivers.
He might have been with the Rams for a little bit.
And then Max Dugan was the quarterback. Shaka Tony on an edge. And Luigi. It's
the 49ers.
Valine? V-L-I-A-I-N?
I've never heard of him. Shaka Tony, I've heard of.
Yeah. Shaka Tony was with us, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was already here as an edge, right?
Yes. Yeah. Well, Shaka Tony, I mean, I liked his tape coming out of Penn State a few years back.
Yeah, but he was at training camp and let him go.
He was, yeah, but 2 years ago.
Cota, Mims, Pettis, Williams, Max Dugan, and then Shaka Tony and Luigi Valine. I think is how you say that name, Valine.
Pettis is an interesting guy. Mm. He's bounced around the league a little bit.
Yes. Okay.
Son of Gary Pettis. Pretty cool.
Wanted to make sure we knew that. Okay, final question here for you guys. Dawson.
Yeah.
Rangers
hitting coach back in the day.
Back in the day. Should the fans be concerned that Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are having trouble getting the ball to CeeDee Lamb in the second half of games?
Probably not. No, I think it's just a result of the teams realizing how pathetic the Cowboys are everywhere else on the field, and they can focus their coverage to CD a bit more. That's what I would assume it is. I think last year it showed, you know, the Cowboys are really good at figuring out ways to get him the ball for all four quarters. I think this year the offense is just more compromised. There's more pressure on Dak. He has less time to let things develop.
How about you, Zach?
Can you repeat the question, please? I saw Hufanga's out a month for the Steelers or the Niners, and I was not paying attention.
Should the fans be concerned that Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott are having trouble getting CeeDee Lamb the ball in the second half of games?
The only reason I would say no is shout out to RJ Ochoa with Blogging the Boys. And to this point of the season, it's pretty much comparable numbers to what it was a year ago. And he ended up having a career year. So I still think this is one of those things where, I mean, we've seen early in the game, like the focus is get CeeDee Lamb the football. They've just got to find a way to carry that over all four quarters. I think that will happen. Like by the end of the season, we're not going to be worried about CeeDee and his target share. Like the numbers will even out by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something to worry about because it's something that you have to, it has to get fixed. You're not going to be beating teams without CeeDee Lamb in the second half of games. You're going to have to find ways creatively to get him open. He's, of course, going to command a bunch of attention. And hopefully a breakout game from Tolbert and some moments from Turpin can maybe have defenses respect them a little bit more here moving forward. But ultimately, CeeDee Lamb is far and away your best offensive player. And if he's going to be rendered useless in the second half of games, you will win very little of those games.
Okay, one more to you, Dawson, real quick.
100%.
Okay.
Whatever you want.
How about you, Chief? Is it now more critical than ever that the front office trade for a major defensive end?
No, I don't think it's overly critical at all. I think they should be trading away their defensive end. It's Micah Parsons. I don't think this is there's not a defensive end in the world that's going to change the situation that you have at hand right now. So I don't want to give up assets to somebody who's probably going to be pricey at the same time, all just to, again, maybe not even win your own division. That doesn't seem like it's worth it.
How about you, Wooly?
I think it would depend on who the defensive end is at. Like, I'm still not against making this football team better. If you can add a guy that's going to be controllable for future, like I wouldn't do anything for a rental piece. Mm-hmm. But a guy that's going to be here when you're looking at DeMarcus Lawrence probably not being here next year. Defensive end's an area of need for the future of this football team. But I don't think it's like, man, they've got to make a move because I still don't view this team as a Super Bowl contender right now.
Dawson?
Yeah, it's got to be for a long-term player. You know, it's got to be for – because you need all of your draft assets. Like what we're trading with, that's got to be a young player who hits. Now, if you can give me the hit for a guy who's got 2 or 3 years left on his rookie deal in a trade where I'm not giving up my first round pick, I'd love it. I don't see a lot of teams rushing to move guys like that in that situation.
I think the fact that you're getting Parsons back after the bye probably will not make them not trade for a guy. But that's I kind of felt like that maybe that they would be in a situation where, you know, they're down guys for 6 games. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about Nealon and then talking about Lawrence.
Yeah.
But with Micah coming back after the bye, they'll probably dance with the guys that they got right now. That was my guess.
Yeah, they're in a tough spot for the way they team build to make something drastic happen. But, you know, it's not all hopeless. You know, it's just a matter of time before things come around for this football team in this front office. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant. Pettis was third base coach, 972, pointing out. I thought for a second there he was the hitting coach. But I can tell you, he was a 5-time Gold Glover, so perhaps we should not be surprised that Dante Pettis has such good hands for catching footballs.
There you go.
Okay, when we return, G-Bag Nation, it's time to talk some basketball. Chief, what's in store?
Yeah, let's go around the rim. We have some Mavs news for you, and we have the annual general manager survey as they answer questions preseason style, and the information here is pretty good. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.